Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
The Bible tells us that to minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us. And that is just what we're doing by walking away from this accord.
The American left liked Russia a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
The fact of the virginal conception, the fact that she is the Theotokos, the mother of God and so forth. We rejoice in those things because they tell us something special, not about Mary, but instead they tell us something special about Jesus, about who he is.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
The Hippocratic Oath, an ancient thing, but the basis of medical ethics, really the foundation of medical ethics for centuries and for millennia, it really comes down to one thing, and that is do no harm. Now, abortion does harm. It does mortal harm to the unborn baby, and it does harm to the mother as well. And one might even argue the harm that abortion does extends even beyond those two, the baby and the mother. So what are we to make of an Illinois law that has been amended to require pro-life medical professionals to promote abortion? What becomes of the Hippocratic Oath that says, first and foremost, if you do nothing else, do no harm? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about an Illinois bill requiring pro-life medical professionals to promote abortion. Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life will be our guest. Terry Mattingly joins us after that to talk about media coverage of the ordination of a transgender deacon in the United Methodist Church. And even in that, we have to say that the stories appearing on that particular topic are having a hard time getting the headlines right for a number of reasons. We'll discuss with Terry a little bit later. Pastor Christopher Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will join us to talk about his pastoral perspective on this morning's Alexandria shootings. Dr. Kevin Golden will help us remember, along with the rest of the church, Elisha, the Old Testament prophet. And then we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse talking about what she calls divorce enablers. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to discuss an Illinois law requiring pro-life medical professionals to promote abortion, Clark Forsyth, he's a regular guest, senior counsel for Americans United for Life, and author of the book, Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. Clark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd, for having me. It's good to be with you.
What does this amendment to a freedom of conscience bill in Illinois, what does it do to the definition of freedom of conscience?
Basically, it guts it. Illinois has had one of the most comprehensive laws protecting your freedom of conscience for decades. And this new law, which unfortunately was signed by Governor Rauner, basically guts legal protection that doctors and other medical professionals have had for decades. And it actually overtly requires pregnancy care centers, doctors, other medical professionals to tell patients about the benefits of abortion. And obviously, it directly violates their freedom of conscience, which is why the law has been challenged in federal court, and there's a case against it pending now.
So talk about that case, National Institute of Family and Life Advocates and others v. Rauner.
Well, it's an important case. I'm glad that Casey Maddox and Alliance Defending Freedom have filed suit against the law because it's just a slap in the face to religious liberty, freedom of conscience, medical ethics, and it puts incredible pressure on pregnancy care centers and doctors in Illinois. I mean, because as you know, these medical professionals, these pregnancy care centers have very high standards of patient care, and they have ethical objections grounded on the Hippocratic Oath, and they have medical objections because the abortion takes the life of an unborn child, but it also involves medical risks to women, and for all these reasons, it's just intolerable.
So you said at the beginning, Clark, that Illinois had an excellent track record so far of protecting the freedom of conscience of medical professionals. Talk more about that. What was it like before this law signed by Governor Rauner?
Well, as you know, in the wake of the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973, a lot of states passed rights of conscience laws, but the original kind of iteration of them, a version of them, was rather narrow. It protected doctors from participating in abortion. So it was very narrow. It just protected doctors. It just protected participation against, and it just protected them from being involved in abortion. But one state, Illinois, and since then I suppose a few others, have passed comprehensive protection that protects medical professionals, in addition to doctors, from referring for or participating in ethically objectionable medical procedures. So it goes beyond abortion. And Illinois was looked to as having one of the best laws passed by the legislature back, I believe, in the 80s across the country. And this law by a pro-abortion legislature and, unfortunately, a pro-abortion governor just overturns that those decades of record protecting conscience, and it's just outrageously coercive in pushing a pro-abortion agenda. So hopefully federal courts will strike it down and sweep away this unconstitutional infringement.
What kind of penalties could medical professionals face if they chose to disobey the law as it stands right now and not refer or transfer patients seeking an abortion to a facility that would provide it?
Well, I think the combination could be forcing them out of the profession. There's probably a combination of penalties, and it depends on how many times they refuse to do it and for how many patients and so forth. So it could ultimately run them out of the profession if they conscientiously objected over many patients over a significant period of time.
Do we know of other states that have passed similarly amended laws or laws like this, and what has happened to medical professionals in those states?
You know, I don't have a comprehensive data, and I don't have any up-to-date data, but there have been some other states that have pushed something like this, California. And I believe that's in court now, state or federal court in California. And that's exactly what should happen when states pass this kind of onerous imposition. They should be sued, and the state officials should be sued, and First Amendment freedoms should be vindicated in the courts.
Are you concerned generally about this migration of the right of conscience for medical professionals in other areas where, looking at the picture more broadly, there seems to be a move away from, as you mentioned, the Hippocratic Oath, the protection of the patient, and the right of conscience for doctors and others?
Yes, I am. I'm very concerned about it. I'm concerned that other states will pass laws like this. We have working pro-life majorities in 25 to 30 states, but I'm concerned about the others. And the proposition of coercing doctors to refer for abortion or recommend abortion or give patients the quote-unquote benefits of abortion could be applied to other medical procedures. If a state legalizes assisted suicide like D.C. did, the District of Columbia, or Colorado did last November, and assisted suicide just becomes, quote-unquote, one other medical option, then the same type of proposition could be applied to assisted suicide. The doctors have to recommend or refer for assisted suicide or explain the quote-unquote benefits of assisted suicide. And if, as it is, assisted suicide is the cheapest option for someone with a terminal illness or a chronic illness, then it just gets added into just a medical option, and doctors can be forced to refer for that as well, unless it's understood as a constitutional principle that doctors with religious ethical objections are protected by the First Amendment.
Your friends at the court brief cites at the very beginning of the argument the Hippocratic Oath, and some might argue, well, that's an outdated notion in medicine today, an ancient and outdated notion, and should no longer, as your brief argues, be the basis, the foundation for medical ethics. How would you respond?
Well, I think there has been a slide away from the Hippocratic Oath over the last three or four decades. Fewer and fewer medical schools are requiring that graduates recite the oath and adhere to the oath. But I think that Americans are going to come back to it, and medical professionals are going to have to come back to it, because it provides some neutral principles of protection for patients. It sets a very high standard of medical ethics. It says that doctors shouldn't have sex with their patients, which means, of course, sexually assaulting a patient or coercing a patient. It says that doctors can't prescribe assisted suicide. It says that doctors can't prescribe abortion or give abortion. And it basically establishes a clear dividing line that doctors are going to be healers and not killers. And to the extent that Americans are concerned about euthanasia, then if you want to be protected as a patient, you better go to a doctor who adheres to the Hippocratic Oath, because if they don't, their ethics will slide, and they are not going to respect patient privacy and the inviolability of human life as the Hippocratic Oath does. I wouldn't go to a doctor who didn't adhere to the Hippocratic Oath, especially as I age and might have a chronic or terminal illness. I wouldn't go to any doctor that didn't adhere to the Hippocratic Oath, because you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know how they're going to take care of you or if they are.
You also argue in the brief that the amendment to the Illinois Health Care Right of Conscience Act obstructs the ability of the physician to make professional judgments in the best interests of their patients. What are you talking about specifically there?
Well, that it abortion isn't in the best interests of the patient, and it coerces these doctors and these pregnancy care centers who are nonprofit. They're not making a profit on the services they provide, are coerced to explain the benefits of abortion, which not only kills the child, but has serious repercussions for women's health. Abortion isn't about women's health care. It's not about women's health. It doesn't contribute to women's health. It's about population control. It's about terminating a healthy pregnancy in 99.9% of the cases for social reasons, for population control reasons. So it's not about women's health.
Finally, then, how do you expect the court to receive this brief on the Illinois law that would require medical professionals to promote abortion?
Well, we filed it to support the suit and the plaintiffs in this case to reinforce the understanding that these pregnancy care centers have very high standards for patient care. They follow ethical guidelines. And that these pregnancy care centers and doctors has ethical objections to abortion because it takes the life of an unborn child, a human being, and they have medical objections that abortion isn't good health care. It's not health care. And these go to the fundamentals of what it means to be a physician.
Clark Forsyth is Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life, author of the book Abuse of Discretion, The Inside Story of Roe v. Wade. You can purchase this book and find out more about Americans United for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Clark, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Take care.
Terry Mattingly will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about media coverage of the ordination of a transgender deacon in the United Methodist Church. The Washington Post says the United Methodist Church consecrated a transgender deacon. Is that headline accurate? Find out right after this.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for six digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.